Speak on it.
Put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. You ain't gon' text no one when you with me. I can make you put your phone down, so you can show me attention. And I'll cut mine off too. Boy, that'll help when I listen. I can make you put your phone down. Baby, we don't need it. Every time you get a message, like you don't see it, I can make you put your phone down. Tell me, do you copy? I can make you put your phone down. Boy, that ain't gonna stop me. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. Make you put your phone down. Make you not wanna check that again. I can make you put your phone down. Riding in the drop, hair blowing in the wind. Baby, I will put my phone down. Cause when you talk, I'ma listen. I can make you put your phone down. Leave it at the crib, guaranteed you wouldn't miss it. I can make you put your phone down, and it wouldn't leave your pocket. I can make you put your phone down. Probably wouldn't even know how to unlock it. I can make you put your phone down. I see your friend calling, but forget him. I can make you put your phone down. Your mama probably think you out of missing. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down.
Man, honestly, I haven't been able to write because, like, every time I do it, because, like, I recently I broke up with my girlfriend just because it wasn't good for either one of us, because, like, I didn't care about my own happiness. I cared about her happiness, and she didn't care about her own happiness. She cared about my happiness. So then when one of us was upset, both of us were, like, just depressed, and, like, I knew it couldn't work like that, so... It's so like I haven't been able to like get out of that mindset and like write, but like I think I can. I have to try to do it. I think tomorrow, but once I do the Sunday Writer Series, I think I'm gonna start like that and then build from where what I write there. But yeah,
not for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. That's tough. I'm not gonna lie.
Happens. It's not like we were together that long. It was like 2.5 months, 3 months max. So like it's not like we were together that long. it's just like, it sucks, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah. Actually, we're going to talk about that today. Like, how to, like, deal with writer's block. I'll probably give you a little preview. Ian helped me with writer's block a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he came at it like, you know, like, Ian's like, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Don't wait for inspiration to come find you. Eh? You do bakers. Do they wait for inspiration before they bake? No. You're a writer. You have to write. You go and find it. If it doesn't find you, you find it.
Yeah. Nah, even Lex was saying something like that. Like last week, he was like, listen, writer's block doesn't exist. What you got to do is don't care about writing like a hot fire. Just write. Just write. And then like do a draft and then it'll come to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know why I haven't written. Because, like, I should. I should just sit down 2 hours a day, write. That's it.
I should be writing, too, a lot more.
Yeah.
I have an entire, what's it called, page of scrap, and I haven't been using it. And then, I'll think of ideas, and I'm like, man, it's way too late at night. I'll remember this in the morning. Don't remember it.
Don't remember it in the morning.
Because I have way too much stuff in my head. Like, it was like that. I used to have my writing process used to be, like, I'll think of something. Keep thinking about it. Let it marinate. If I forgot it, it means it wasn't worth remembering.
Yeah.
But, like, that was a different stage of my life where, like, I didn't have work and all these things constantly on my mind.
Yeah.
I can't remember things the way I used to. So I need to write everything down.
Yeah, that's, like, even if it's just a line, I know that helps me. Even if it's just a line that I'm like, oh, that's a bar. I'll write it down and I'll come back to it later. And then that helps me a lot, like where I just write down every bar and then I just put it on one page. And I'm just like, is there any way to fit these together? If there's not, I go off of it, right? I'll write a verse. I'll write just a little bit. And then it grows, you know? But I haven't been writing lately. And I feel like I should because I can feel my writing getting better and better. Like after every poem I do, I'm like, okay, yo, this one's better than the last. The last one wasn't as good as this one I'm writing now. Like, it's just, I can feel myself getting better and better. And like because I'm able to see the progression from like having my notebook from like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, right? Where I wrote my first poems. I look at it and I'm like, okay, so like I can see the evolution. I can see like who I took inspiration from, right? So like at first, when I first started writing, everything was rhyming. I took, that was plainly AK, but I did it much worse than AK did. Like I took all the rhyme, I was like, yo, I could rhyme and I could like kind of rap this, and I took that. It wasn't that good, honestly. It was horrible. But then like I started to like look to more you, Caitlin, Asia, right? That more metaphorical stuff. So now that's what I'm trying to start to get into. And I feel like slowly I'm getting better at it. And with that, my writing gets better and better.
Yo, facts. And like, I've noticed that as well. Like, I think it was the slam. No, it was the workshop that you did.
Yeah.
First one. And then you shared. And I was like, whoa, that was really fire. I really like that piece. And I've been noticing like little things and little pockets. Two things you said that I really want to address. One, I was about to commend you because a lot of people go, I look back at my stuff and I was trash. And I was like, oh, you didn't say that. And then you're like, I was terrible. And I was like, oh, you said it. And I think like, we need to give ourselves grace as writers. It's not that you were trash. You were the best version of you at that time, right?
Yeah.
And you like you said, you grow, you evolve. And that happens with all writers. I used to be like, oh man, I was garbage back then. I'm like, no, this was the best version of me. And there's still aspects of me in that writing. And so like, yeah. I don't think I'm trash. So like that aspect of me can't be trash either because there's still parts of me, that old me and the new me. So yeah. Like, I always give myself grace and I'm like, okay, let me see what I was trying to say here. Let me see how I've evolved and just appreciate that journey, right? Rami, I'm gonna put you on the spot real quick. But you remind me so much of a guy named Francis. Francis, when he performed, he was never like a yeller or anything like that. Like, he could draw you in with a whisper.
Yeah.
Right? There's like a real nice melancholy to his voice. And like, you got that. And then not only that, you have a pen. And like, I want to see you develop that. Like, you could bring people in and people are drawn to listen to you. And it's just like, it's hypnotizing. So I really want to commend you for that. Like, I want to keep pushing you to write. What is, like, do you see that in your performance?
Do I see, like, that type of performance in myself?
Yeah, yeah.
No. No.
All right, what do you see? Like, or how do you try to come across on stage?
All right, well, when I perform, I just usually, okay, the last time I performed live was at the Cotton Factory, and I was shaking for no reason. I don't know why, but I was. So to overcome that, I just read, and I left.
Okay. Okay. Like, what inspires your work then?
What inspires my work?
Yeah.
Myself.
I could dig that.
You can't really keep going if you don't want to keep going. So unless you have a reason to, it's a passion.
Do you have anything new written?
Anything new?
Yeah.
All I have are titles. I have a lot of titles and nothing written.
Yo, you're on that Rick Ross. You know Rick Ross, huge, like, what's it called? He write all the titles to his songs before he writes them. Or he'd say, yo, I'm making this album, and here are all the titles to the songs. And then he'd start writing.
That's exactly what I do. I write the idea before I write the poem.
Miami, the Playboy's paradise. Pretty girls, fast cars. That's just a facade. The bridge separates South Beach from my Miami. The real Miami, the MIA. This is where we hustle.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm hustling.
Who you suckers think you're tripping with? Yes, I'm the boss. 745, white on white, that's Rick Ross. I keep them wide, I keep them long, I keep them fat. I keep them coming back, we keep them coming back. I'm in the distribution, I'm like Atlantic. I got them pretty things flying across the Atlantic. I know Pablo Noriega, the real Noriega. He owe me 100 favors. I ain't petty player, we buy the whole thing. See, most of my homies hustle, they still do their thing. My roof back. My money ride. I'm on the pedal, show you what I'm running like. When they snatch black, I cry for 100 nights. He got 100 bodies, serving 100 lights.
Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling, every day I'm.
We never steal cars, but we hard. Whip it real hard, whip it real hard. I call the charge, I call the charge. Whip it real hard, whip it real hard. Ain't about no funny stuff, still flipping them chickens. I'm on my money stuff, still whipping them Benzes. Major League, who catching because I'm pitching? Jose Canseco just snitching because he finished. I feed them steroids to strengthen up all my chickens. They flying over Pacifics to be specific. Triple C's, you know it's fact. We holdin' sack, so good and gon' rap. Yeah, run and tell them that. Mo cars, mo O's.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm. Every day I'm. It's time to spend my thrills. Custom spinning wheels. I ain't drove in a week. Them shit is standing still. Talk about me, cause these suckers scared to talk about me. Killers talking about me. It ain't no talk about me. It ain't no walking around me. See all these killers around me. Lot of around me going down in Dade County. Don't talk no 22. Cost me 22. Shat it on them 22. 22. La mama super thin. She say she 22. She seen them 22. We in room 222. I touch work like I'm convertible Burt. I got distribution, so I'm converting the work. In the M.I.A.O. Them switch off. Yeah, yo.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm, every day I'm.
But yeah, I would encourage you to write something light, like, and just try it. And I think, like, even writing something light will allow you to, or even the attempt to write something light will open you to the experience of, like, allowing light in your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you got to listen to it to be able to write to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I encourage you, you know what? How about this? I was talking to this, like, a friend of mine, and she said that she wrote this amazing poem, and a friend challenged her to do something. How about this? I'm going to challenge you to write something light, and you can give me a challenge, and I'm going to write it.
Any topic. I have happy poems, check. But... Oh, hello. But I wouldn't say that they're, I guess, up to par with other writings of mine.
Oh, don't worry about par. Like, par don't mean nothing. Like, at the end of the day, people will like something one day, don't like it the next day. As long as you like it, that's fine.
There's this, a therapist once told me about this. I can't remember what it's called, but I'm trying to call it the title of my next book, but I can't even remember what the name is. It talked about being, like, noticing weird, beautiful things on the daily, mm-hmm. Especially during, like, times like this. I will find the name eventually, but it's such a beautiful concept of, you know, oftentimes we're focused on the pain that we go through, the trials, the tribulations, but, you know, I don't know, like, what if we can meditate for a second and think about what's the last beautiful thing that we thought about or that we saw or that we experienced. Yeah, it's tough, right? It's tough to think about because we're always, like, focused on the negative and always focused on the difficulties. But, you know, I look outside, the sun is shining. There's, like, a wisp of clouds. It looks like a Cool Whip. But, you know, there's beautiful things, right? I'm looking at a plant that... I gave to propose to my wife with, and it's still alive. So been over a year, still alive. I mean, when it dies, who knows, but still alive for now. There's so many wonderful, wonderful aspects about the planet and about the world and about our existence. So, you know, finding the light is actually much more difficult task than finding the pain. I've always found.
I like that. Also, Ian, since you're here, I feel like I've been talking, I've mentioned you twice already to two different people, and there's only two other people here. I've talked about your, like, I think earlier on, like, we talked about, like, a writer's block, and, like, you always told me, hey, bakers don't need inspiration to go and bake. You know, right. If the inspiration doesn't find you, you go out and find it. Poets write poems.
regardless of inspiration or not, like the practice of writing is so important. And you always talked about how writer's block isn't really real. And I've been paraphrasing that conversation and giving advice. But since you're here and you're the source of that advice, what do you say to those experiencing writer's block?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think that I'm necessarily the source. There's a TED Talk by the woman who wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
Elizabeth Gilbert?
Elizabeth Gilbert. And she talks about your elusive creative genius. She talks about a number of things, but in it, she describes how, you know, in ancient Spain, when people would give a standing ovation, they were actually giving a standing ovation to God or to this idea of the genius. The idea of the genius wasn't something that existed within the individual. Now we call people genius as though they are the ones, but the genius or the genie or the spirit was something that was outside of you, something that came to you and that you collaborated with in order to create something beautiful. In ancient Spain, when, you know, it's like ole, 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 it's actually a remix of the word Allah, God. So they are applauding to God. They're applauding to the spirit. They're applauding to the genius, the genie that exists outside of you, that creative genius. And so she also talks about her best work, the fear that she had of her best work being behind her. Eat, Pray, Love, a New York Times bestseller, made into a Hollywood blockbuster film. And then what will she write? She started to get what we call writer's block, this idea that she can't write the next best thing. But the issue is not about writing the next best thing. The issue is just writing and it being a practice. There's another a quote from Ira Glass. It's a really beautiful quote. Let me see if I can find it. Nobody tells this to people who are beginners. I wish someone told me. All of us who do creative work, we get into it because we have good taste. But there's this gap. For the first couple of years, you make stuff. It's not that good. It's trying to be good. It has potential, but it's not. But your taste, the thing that got you into the game, is still killer. And your taste is why your work disappoints you. A lot of people never get past this phase. They quit. Most people I know who do interesting creative work went through years of this. We know our work doesn't have this special thing that we want it to have. We all go through this. And if you are just starting out or if you're still in this phase, you got to know it's normal. And the most important thing you can do is do a lot of work. Put yourself on a deadline so that every week you will finish one story. It is only by going through a volume of work that you will close that gap. And your work will be as good as your ambitions. And I took longer to figure out how to do this than anyone I've ever met. It's going to take a while. It's normal to take a while. You've just got to fight your way through.
We've been on a tragedy for months. Why can't you agree with me for once? Maybe I can give you chills. We've been on a tragedy for once. Why can't you agree with me for once? Yeah. Maybe we can be on chill now.
One time.
Maybe I can give you chills.
I'm getting mine like fine wine measured in time. Many other brothers loved you, but this pleasure is mine. It's no pressure for us to say that I love you for now. So that is one that's become the for now. For real, who you loving? Who you wanna pull up? Who don't care who you dating? As long as you can, you trust. I'm trying to hear all your problems so I can lighten the load. No, you're not fighting alone, cause I'm protecting you from them. So
chill. Life hard and ex-lovers is like scars, cause it stopped hurting but never forgetting what it was. I wasn't young and my biggest enemy was the club with voicemails on third rings.
We been on a tragedy,
so I don't trust.
Why can't you agree with me for once?
I'm trying to slow up.
Maybe we can be on chill tonight. Maybe I can give you chills. We've been on a tragedy for once. Why can't you agree with me for once? Yeah.
On you, I'm gonna stay the same, yeah. I pull up on you, then put it in with patience. I'm good where we got it without no expectation. What good is the title when shawty been away, yeah. Let me illustrate ya, let my tongue repaint ya. It's already wet, have you had a brainstorm? Hurry where take you, just know that my face good. Modify your energy so your bank and your skin glow. Max feel, let it fly, I be up in there a lot. Just to show you I don't care, go where it's. We don't share our whereabouts or the gossip, the hood, love. Just supreme confidence, if we good, that's good enough.
We've been on a tragedy, yeah, for once. Why can't you agree with me for once? Maybe we can be on chill tonight. Maybe I can give you chills. We've been on a tragedy for once. Why can't you agree with me for once? Yeah. Maybe we can be on chill tonight.
Also, you mentioned Elizabeth Gilbert. Yeah. She also wrote this book called Big Magic.
Okay.
You're a creative. It talks about finding creativity and harnessing that. It's pretty good. I haven't finished it, but I don't finish most books. So.
Well, that's what they were talking about. But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's really difficult. It's something that I definitely go through all the time. But waiting for the genius, waiting for the spirit will never happen. You have to take an active role in chasing it. And it's a constant process for sure. But yeah, that's why, you know, this idea of writer's block is not necessarily something that I ascribe to. I mean, it happens for sure. It happens. But we have to know what it is. It's not writer's block. It's me blocking myself from being a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's a constant task, but you know, prompts definitely help. I'm in a phase right now where it's like I need a reason to write. You know, I used to write all the time just for no reason, just for the practice of it. But now it seems as though, unless I know I have a show coming up, unless I know there's a performance or a manuscript or someone's going to read it. So I need to get back into the practice of writing for writing's sake, and definitely reading for reading's sake. You know, this year I was like, oh, I'm going to read so many books. I got to get back on that, you know.
Yeah. Mike, I have a question for you, and probably for the room as well. How do you guys motivate yourself, especially when it comes to something creative, in a healthy way? And the reason why I ask this is, like, earlier on in my career, I was like, I was writing because I wanted to win a slam, or I was writing because I wanted to prove a point. Or and like, do you, Ian's seen some of this, where like we talk about winning slams, and Ian's like, I don't care, like, it's not about winning, it's about making great art. What motivates you guys to make great art? I'm gonna start with let's start with Shad.
So for me, I don't know, like, most of the time, again, like Ian said, I write just to, like, write, basically. Like, I have so many poems that I have never slammed because, one, either I don't feel comfortable slamming it, or two, like, it's just not a slam poem, you know what I mean? So the type of mindset I get into is literally I write down what I'm feeling at the time, and then I go off that. All right, do I want to write a happy poem? Do I want to write an angry poem? Do I want to write this poem, or this poem? Sorry. And then I throw topics, right? So, like, what am I happy about? What am I angry about, right? Mm-hmm. Am I angry that this is happening? Am I happy that I have more time with my family during quarantine? Okay, cool. I am happy about that. Let me write about that. You know what I mean? And it's not because, like, there are so many pieces that, like, I look at it and I'm like, okay, well, I could make this into a slam piece, but I feel like the ending, it should end there. It shouldn't end. Like, I shouldn't extend it just so that I can hit the 2:30 mark so that it could be a good slam poem. You know what I mean? Like, don't, I don't try to make every poem I do a poem that I'm going to slam. I honestly don't know the mindset. I don't know if I answered the question or not, but I don't know the mindset that I get into. I just write about, like, what I'm feeling and what's going on in my life at that time.
I like that. Remy, I'm going to come to you. What motivates you to create good art?
What motivates me? I motivate the art that I write.
Oh, we go back.
You only write if you either want or have a need to, right? So if you have neither of those, you're not gonna write. But writing should be fun. So if it's not fun for you, then why are you doing it? So unless you have a reason to, you won't. And if your reason isn't yourself, you won't write.
That's so interesting. Because, like, for instance, I wrote the book, the poem. You know that shadow poem that I have?
Yeah.
Why don't you drop it for us?
Perfect, I will. The Darkest PD Party. Me and my shadow exchange horror stories about being black. I say to my shadow, I envy you. No one ever questions the quantity of your blackness. You're never too black or not black enough. You are always just simply black. Without question, without interrogation, I envy how your hands have never felt the chill of cuffs, never been presumed guilty until proven dead, because no matter how hard you try, you can never kill a shadow. And my shadow says to me, I know we both know what it's like to be a walking chalk outline. A shadow's place is either on the ground or against a wall. Everything that makes me uniquely beautiful is robbed of me in the nighttime. And the warmth of my personality and flesh become the tone of nightmares. The skin, nothing more than the fingerprint of a violent night. They label me an angry black man, base my whole existence on throwing shade, and why wouldn't I be angry? I hate it. I stick out in white spaces. I try and comfort my shadow. I say, I envy how close you are to the earth and our roots. You, the origin of black love, the melanin in a shadow is a vow. Watch how easily two shadows become one flesh, and I have never known a love like this. You, the original appropriator, the true activist, watch how you mimic their movements and call it normal. My shadow says, call it being puppeted. Call it being forced to conform. Call it being spoon-fed a culture without spice. Us dark-skinned brothers have never been afforded the crown of normalcy, never been afforded the luxury of tears, even though it's clear we've been on rock bottom for quite some time now. It's clear. I feel the weight of everything on top of me. And it's maddening. This code switching. In some lights, a shadow has to split itself into two to fit into a workplace where it is voiceless, tokenized, present at every board meeting and cannot speak. Our glass ceilings, the floor, give new meaning to overshadowed, to be stepped on and stepped over. And we bond over these memories and pre-written destinies. Our connection so close, it is almost physical. Our kinship, Siamese-like. For even boxers know that on some nights, all you have is your shadow fighting with you. Mm. But cops know the best way to make shadows scatter is swirling lights. And it seems, with new discriminatory laws and increasing hydro bills, politicians and cops won't stop until every ghetto and prison is flooded with shadows. Hmm. So I wrote that. I wrote it initially and I was like, nah, it's a good idea, but it needs to be better. So then I ended up watching, what's it called? When They See Us.
Mm. Right.
And it's so crazy because I had an idea for a TV show called The Monsters They See, talking about like kids and like anger management and like what they grow up to be. And like, oh, that'd be such a cool show. And then they came out with When They See Us. And I was like, oh, this is a very similar title, but like, I really like this concept. So I watched it and I forced myself to write as I was watching. And I was so overcome with emotion. Like, cause a lot of scenes and When They See Us were very difficult. Like, I remember I went downstairs and like, I had a hug. My sister, I was crying. Like not even just like the regular, just tears. Like I was like, Liz is coaching me on breathing. And then I was like, Liz, like, you need to stop watching this. I was like, no, I need to write. And she's like, what? I'm like, I've been trying to access this emotion. I need to harness it. Like, I'm overcome by something, right? I need to take that something that I normally don't feel on the day to day and put that in words. And like, it wasn't. So when you talk about like writing should be fun, I mean, like, it was fun, but it also wasn't motivated by me. So I really relate to what Ian was talking about like the genie or the spirit, because that spirit of sadness was attached to that work and came to me. And I was like, I gotta capture that in some way, some form.
I mean, you know, emotional motivation is probably one of the best ways to get into work, right? But I also feel like, you know, there's a lot of discourse around trauma and the re-traumatization of work and what effect it has on an audience. And so I believe that it's a tightrope that, you know, you walk because you want to be emotionally invested, but you also want to be able to see the emotion from a top down view or a bird's eye view in order to write about it. I mean, you have to have some sort of distance from that emotion in order to put pen to paper. Otherwise, you're just in that emotion, right? So imagine someone close to you has passed and, you know, people can't find the energy, the emotional stability to write a eulogy or to talk to anyone, you know, they're just stricken by that emotion. They're overwhelmed by those emotions. So I do think it takes a bit of distance, but then, you know, I've run into a situation where it's like, I've been so distant from the emotion that the work suffers, you know, it feels mm-hmm. different, distant or feel academic. So it definitely is a tightrope and a balance. Yeah. But I appreciate that. I wish I could be in a state where it's like, oh, I'm sad. It's time to write. I think a lot of people would have really beautiful work if mm-hmm. they are inspired so much right when the emotion sets foot.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like, Chad, was that you? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, for me, like, for a long time, I've been like trying to get inspired off of sadness. You know what I mean? And I feel like that is a great way. Well, not a great way, but like it makes great poetry. You make great poetry that way. But I always believe that, like, and right now I'm trying to work on it. My favorite poems have never been sad poems. They've always been poems where like you can see growth and you can see somebody that is truly like, even if it's about nostalgia or if it's about like just being happy. And for me, I'm trying to do that, where I'm trying to like remember times where I'm truly, truly like just euphoric with happiness, right? And I'm trying to like find ways to put that into poetry, because like, although I love, like, sad poems are great, personally, I don't like writing sad poems that much, just because they push me back there. And then like, I have to go through that again. But if I write a happy poem, right, all my, like, if I write funny poems and things like that, I'm always like happy to perform them. But when I write a sad poem, I'm kind of scared to perform them, because I don't know if, oh, is this the right time to perform it? But a happy poem is, unless like everybody's really down, is always the right time to perform a happy poem, you know?
Mm.
So like, that's what I've been trying to do, harness happiness instead of sadness.
And, you know, I think it's important to also understand that artistic works, creative works, often contain a spectrum of emotions. And I think when it does include a spectrum of emotions, that they are, that it is the most powerful, the most effective in that sense. There's this poem called, it's a really wonderful piece, which just shows that there can be so many different emotions and feelings, ideas, but when they're put together, there's some sort of magic that happens, which I think is really beautiful. So the poem is called Life in Reverse, and it goes like this. It's by Gray Thomas.
Sometimes I wish we could live our lives in reverse and watch as all the events play out backwards, everything becoming simple, easy, and perfect. Now, if we lived our lives in reverse, it would begin with a mortician pulling us out of our coffins, and it would end with a doctor trying to shove us feet first into our mother's vaginas. We go to school to learn how to forget everything we know. We give our expensive university diplomas to a stranger standing on a stage wearing a long black robe. Then we'd shake his hand and smile into a camera that erases the moment forever. And if we lived our lives in reverse, then weeping brides would kiss their soon-to-be fiancés, only to put the veil over their face and walk slowly away from them, up the aisle, towards the door. As she exits the chapel, their love would begin to wane until they no longer knew each other's names. And fathers would pour gallons of themselves into small square bottles, then take the bottles down to the local liquor store and place them on the crude shelves. The liquor store owners would give the fathers their paychecks in small but gracious increments. And if we lived our lives in reverse, then enemies would become friends instantaneously just because they said a bunch of shit to each other backwards. And my friend Mackenzie would become my friend again instantaneously. She'd become my friend again as I watch as she pushes herself into dozens upon dozens of syringes and then donates these syringes to the dirty old moonbeam merchants. This act of charity would leave her looking younger, ravishing, unshakable, alive. Meanwhile, the moonbeam merchants, they take their fistful of syringes and empty them of their contents onto little pieces of tin foil, allow it to cool until it became a fine white powder. Then they would take the powder and form it into poppy gum, put the poppy gum into poppy blossoms. Then they would gather armfuls of poppy blossoms and spread them across huge fields. It would be wonderful. Entire countries would be covered with Mackenzie flowers. And if we lived our lives in reverse, then oceans would throw airplanes at the sky. Thousands of people would jump from their stomachs to the top of tall buildings, and life throw inmates would sit strapped into chairs as death is shocked out of them. And this poem, this would be the beginning of the poem and not the end of it. And it wouldn't be recited by me. It would be recited by you, the audience. It would be recited by your ears while I stood up on this stage and listened with my dumb mouth wide open as every single word is pressed into it. And it wouldn't begin until you gave an applause. And it wouldn't end until there was complete and profound silence.
That was Gray Thomas. Life in Reverse. Gray Thomas, Life in Reverse. A beautiful piece, but I'd love to hear your thoughts about it.
Whoa. I'm going to go last.
Okay, I guess I'll start. But that was, like, the way... I really like the word about, like, the Moonbeam merchants, how instead of putting them back, putting the poppy flowers back, they're spreading them, right? Like, it's... Instead of, like, the it was such a optimistic view of it instead of, like, a pessimistic view where you could have done a pessimistic view, but, like, how, like, the way it was worded, enemies turned to friends. And it's just, it's hard to, that was really good. That was amazing. Wow.
Yeah, really, really nice concept. And I agree, the concept of the sort of the heroine going back, the heroine going back into the poppy seeds going back into the flowers, and then his friend Mackenzie becoming the field of Mackenzie flowers is, like, well, really incredible.
Rami.
I remember this one line from it. It was like, thousands of people fall to the buildings and death is shot out of them. That hit.
Right. Thousands of people fall to the tops of the buildings. Yeah, as death is shot. Yeah, really incredible. And it's a simple concept, right? But the execution is really powerful.
Yeah. Like, that's what I was going to say, because, like, I've been trying to write, like, I have a poem called, like, Opposite Day. And, like, I've been trying to, like, it's Opposite Day. She loves me. My hands still know their way home. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like things like that. But I'm, like, I'm just struggling because I'm, like, yo, I need to level it up. Or I need to use this, like, motif to really just create more depth to the poem.
Right.
And then, like, just seeing him do that. Like the chapel, talk about the wedding, how, oh my gosh, their love wanes until they don't even know each other's names. Oh my goodness. And it's crazy because, like, even in reverse, like, some could argue that it works the same way forward. And, like, that was another idea for a poem, that I could write a poem one way. And then it'd be this, like, and then, like, get to the middle of the poem and then go flip and reverse it and then, like, read it the other way and it's a completely different story. And, like, that's just, that level of writing is just, oh, that probably took forever. But, like, again, simple concept, but very beautiful in execution.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, he started with comedy, right? This idea of babies going back into their mothers. Yeah. You know, if life was in reverse. And then within 2.5 minutes, he's, you know, he's deep into the emotion of how he lost his best friend. So I really think that when we think about emotions in poetry, in creative works, we should definitely be thinking about the myriad of emotions and what exists. It doesn't need to be, oh, this is a sad poem. This is a, you know, because a poem like that, it could be called a sad poem. It could be called a beautiful poem. It could be called a painful poem. Or it could be called all these things at once, you know.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Conversation got boring. You said you'd go into bed soon. I snuck off to your bedroom, and I thought I'd just wait there until I heard you come upstairs. And I pretended I was sleeping, and I was hoping.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and I want you, and you want me, don't you? I can see it. Cause you've been waiting on me since I said that I was hitting the club. The sun be coming up on me, and I know you be getting so. Cause you be sending me texts like, boy, just get up in that car and come get all of this love. You ain't gotta remind me. She already said if I don't come on time, she might go crazy. And she'll be waiting on me with one of my chains on. She might come and find me, oh, and then ask me kindly, oh, do I want her to go crazy? We do this every night and then we always wake up singing the same
it's
song.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Conversation got boring.
Talk to me, girl.
You said you'd go into bed soon.
Let's go.
So I snuck off to your bedroom.
Come on.
And I thought I'd just wait there.
Wait on
until
me.
Until I heard you come up the stairs.
I won't let you stay lonely.
And I pretended I was sleeping.
Alright. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Conversation got boring. You said you're going to bed soon, so I snuck up to your bedroom. And I thought I'd just wait there until I heard you come upstairs. And I pretend that I was sleeping. Oh, I was hoping you were creeping. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and you calling. And these females got me stalling. I can hear your voice in my head like,
what is he doing?
Oh,
what is he doing?
Cause I keep checking my cell phone, and these missed calls. And you texting me like, I'ma kill y'all. If you don't get your ass out of that club, and do you know what time it is?
It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh, my bad girl. This new boy got me tripping, and I know that you mad girl. But you ain't gotta worry about nothing. Girl, I got you. Girl, I got you. She might come and find me. And then ask me kindly. Do I want her to go crazy? We do this every night, and then we always wake up singing the same song.
But the t-shirt that I left over your house the last time I came and put it on ya. Too many thirsty girls up in this club for me to leave here with one of them. That's why I call her. And you'll be right at home waiting for me. iPhone plugged in the wall just waiting for me. Club closes 6, left around 4:30-ish. So by the time I'm at your crib,
it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
And you yawning. But I've been drinking all night and I feel like performing with you in the bedroom. Floor to the dresser, the one, nothing less. Cause I'm sure you're the best, you're the one, so I let you. That's how you show me love. And when we finish, you like, you woke me up. I love the way you put it down like it's for both of us. The sun ain't the only thing that's coming up.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Conversation got boring. You said you're going to bed soon, so I snuck up to your bed.
Look,
dressed in fatigues. I rep the East with my trustees, smoking on crushed leaves. They turn their back on everything we built and they must bleed. I've seen splatter hit the snow and the blood freeze. Scraps over territory they know we must keep. Get home and white Air Forces get brushed clean. Back when my mama would interrupt sleep to tell me hurry up as the bus leaves. Summertime heat waves, I used to just cut sleeves. My shorty really love me, man, she want me to cut keys. I can't do that normal type of life, is it just me? Steady try to ride the wave, but it's rough seas. I'm losing enough sleep, dealing with envy. And the news that they sent for me got the block in a frenzy. It's on each like it's trendy. Running round from Laurier to McKenzie when the city's empty. Yeah, early 20s. But I want 50s, 100s, not pennies. I need plenty. Got me ready to flip the F out like Fendi. Whatever's in me is taking over. I gotta bust it down, break it open. Until somebody starts taking notice, then we rolling. Yeah, then we rolling. Then we rolling. Deep pockets on it. I can't find my phone in. Now we rolling. Yeah, then we rolling. Then we rolling. Deep pockets on it. I can't find my phone in. Now we rolling. Look. Back when Big Apple sold dreams, I stuck to my own thing. Back when the house that I own now was my home screen. Before I'd ever hit the road and feel like the home team. Running missions, pyramid schemes just like the Egyptians. Back when hotlines were still flipping. Now I'm seeing money off of hotlines blinging, but it feels different. Transitions, plans switching. Ambition, minding my business, building a business, etc. Inspired by a few, but my mind really drives itself like Tesla. Always had a little something extra. Back when Corey was our sole investor. And the car could get from A to B, but won't impress ya. Look, I ain't no baller. Still need my accounts longer, like the way my nephew's getting taller. My soundtrack is the second Carter, dreaming of accepting offers and ease intentions. Keeping family out of East attention. And out of Pine Hills Funeral Center, spots we got no business entering. Back when Jill Scott was the apple of my Afrocentric, I had to find a way to get someone's attention. Yeah. Then we rolling, then we rolling. Deep pockets on it, I can't find my phone in. Now we rolling. Yeah, then we rolling, then we rolling. Deep pockets on it, I can't find my phone in. Now we rolling.